Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Jukes here on Redbox Media. Good morning. Alex and I were just chatting, and all of a sudden he went, we have 20 seconds. I'm like, no, we can't. It feels like you just said I had 3 minutes. Well, guess what? I have no time now because we're here. Yay. Happy Monday. Unbelievable. These weeks just fly by. I think that's what old people say. I think I just gave myself up as an old person. So welcome to the old person show. That'll keep you listening, right? You are listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Jingras here on Breadbox Media, and I am so grateful to have you with me today, whether you listen to me in the morning or at night, or, wow, what's going on with my voice? It was working a minute ago. Sorry about that. It's either the technology goes or I go. I guess this morning it's all about me. Really, it isn't really all about me, but we are going to talk a little bit about me because that's really more about God, but how God's working through me and the things I feel like he wants me to share to you. So we're going to, today I don't have a book. Usually I'm joined by Sarah Reinhart on this time slot, but it's school vacation for her children. And it's a little harder for us to find that quiet time or that time at all to connect, to get a show together. So today you're stuck with just me, but I promise you Sarah will be back either with a pre-recorded show by the end of the month that will air on a Tuesday, or definitely in July. We can't go too long without our Sarah because that just wouldn't be right. She makes me laugh. So we will definitely have Sarah back. Today we're going to just look at a few different things that have been on my heart. Sorry again about that. Just a couple of things that have been on my heart. Forgiveness and the Year of Mercy. Somebody asked me for some more information on the Year of Mercy, so I thought I'd take advantage of today to bring you that. Of course, I would be remiss not to mention the mass shooting in Orlando. Just so, this world is just, goodness gracious, it's getting more and more scary. I have a 91-year-old godmother, and I get to spend every Friday with her. And just to see the world through her eyes sometimes is quite remarkable. Like all that she has seen, she's been through wars. She told me this really funny story of her father bought her a convertible coupe. She was a single woman going to college. She was the first person in our family to go to college. She became a teacher, and she had this little coupe, and she was driving down the street right during World War II, and she saw these two soldiers thumbing for a ride. And I can't even believe she'd see this. It shows you how different the world once was. She actually pulled over and gave these two young soldiers a ride. Well, before they got to their destination, squished in that front seat of that little car, they got a flat tire. She got a flat tire. And these two young men got out and they changed her tire and they went upon their little merry way. Wow, what a, talk about God providing for you. But there was it's a day, she said, you know, when you weren't afraid to pull over and pick somebody up, and that, you know, you did look upon those people who are serving our country with great respect, and you would do anything for them. You know, I know that this world is changing, and I've seen it in my own family. The things that, you know, were once we would have never have dreamed would become just a part, normal part of our lives, or is happening. But even if we in our hearts know that this is not what God would want, or what we see in his word, what he warns us of and asks us not to participate in, it doesn't mean we dislike those who don't see God's way, who are choosing either to disregard it, or their hearts are just so filled with what they feel is right, or what they feel is something they can't control or help. It's not for us to judge. It's for us to pray. You know, I know that judge means, like, I think that word gets misused a lot. Like, yes, we are called to judge right and wrong behavior. Yes, we are called to judge what God has revealed to us as truths. but it also doesn't excuse us to love and to love beyond measure all people and to extend our hearts to them and to, you know, to forge friendships and to get to know each other and get to know each other's sides. But when somebody just takes it upon themselves to try to eradicate something they don't agree with, well, that's not okay. That's never okay. I don't care what it is. And we've seen this again and again, and it's just heartbreaking. And we have to come together as children of God and pray. Just pray our hearts out and asking God to have mercy. And this is what mercy is about. It's about asking God to shower us with his grace and his hope and his love, and for hopefully to bring an end to this. This isn't okay, and we can't continue to behave like this. And I don't know the answer, and I'm not a political person, so I'm not going to go into an answer. I only know one thing, and that's Christ and him crucified. From 1 Corinthians, no, that's from Galatians 2:20. There we go. I'm not good at those addresses. I just know God's word. I just don't know where it's parked. Yes, I'd be a terrible valet and never find the cars again. I don't know where I put them. I don't know what number slot it's in, but I just know that it's out there somewhere. So all I know is Christ and him crucified, and I know he died for an abundant life for each and every one of us and for the hope of heaven and the opening of that door. So today we're going to look at an article I found on the on Facebook. A local priest, Father David Barnes, he writes, "A shepherd's." You think I would have written this part down? I wrote everything about the article, but you can find it if you go over to Reconciled to You on Facebook. It's one of the very first posts of the day. And if you can't find it, you know, you can always send me a message at Allison@ReconciledToYou. No, that's not right. Oh my goodness. Allison@BreadboxMedia.com. That's not hard. Allison@BreadboxMedia.com. Or you could send me, you can go to Facebook anytime, A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras or Reconciled to You. And just send me a message. Say, hey, you mentioned this during the show, and as usual, you forgot to post it. I just put a post up on my Facebook and said, anybody waiting for a prize or a thank you gift or a gift from a friend of the show, which I'm going to tell you a little bit about in a minute. It's coming. I am not lazy. Honest to goodness, I'm not lazy. I am just squirrel girl. Which means I never finish a task that I start. But even the squirrels get themselves ready for winter eventually. So eventually, the things I set out to do actually get done. Sometimes it just takes me a little longer to get to them. So we are going to be looking at this article from Father Dave Barnes. We are going to be looking at forgiveness and prayer and confession and the year of mercy and whatever you want to talk about. 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. That's 573-4-BREAD-4. That is a phone line as well as a text line. So if you are not comfortable with talking on air, just send me a text and say, what do you want to talk about? What do you want me to share? A couple of things I want to share before we go to break is the new friend of the show. We're here on Breadbox Media. You can support whichever Breadbox Media show or shows that you enjoy listening to for whatever amount you feel comfortable giving. For $10 or more a month, you could become a premium member. Well, if you become a premium member of A Seeking Heart, that means that I will send you, and there's a couple coming out this week, I promise, a squirrel, either holding a heart for Seeking Heart or a dandelion for Reconciled to You, or a rosary bracelet, hopefully in your favorite color, if you want to let me know what that is. You get 10 extra entries in every giveaway that I host, and you get an invitation to an exclusive monthly Google Hangout, and we're going to be having that the last Wednesday of this month, whatever that date is. I think we're going to keep it always the last Wednesday of the month, and you also get some exclusive content over on my Breadbox Media page, which I will be putting up shortly, videos and maybe a podcast outtakes or whatever, just something usual and fun over there on Breadbox Media, maybe some extra blogging, answers to your questions, whatever you need. I'm here to support you. Speaking of this week's giveaway, you want 10 extra entries into this. You can go to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page, click on click on what you click. Oh, yeah. You click on the giveaway tab. That's not tough. And then the raffle copter will open up and you have lots of different ways of getting entries into this week's giveaway, which includes one prize is the movie Risen. If you haven't seen this yet, you have to go see. Well, you have to purchase because it's no longer in the theaters, but it's called Risen. And it is from Jesus's resurrection from the eyes of a non-believer. And it's fascinating, gets you really thinking. I blogged about it on reconciledtoyou.com if you want to know more. And I'm sending, since that one's in my possession and I'm sending it out, I'm going to include with it Little Sins Mean a Lot, the new book out from Elizabeth Scalia, out from our Sunday Visitor. Oh my goodness. Pete Sox and I talked about this yesterday. Pete Sox's book show will be out June 21st when we talk about Elizabeth's book. I will definitely be showcasing more of this book, especially the chapter on procrastination. Squirrel Girl does a lot of that, let me tell you. Chasing my tail, meaning to get things done, but putting them off if they feel too difficult for me. So, Little Sin Means a Lot and Risen, that's one prize. One of three copies of A Single Bead by Stephanie Engelman. Stephanie was my guest last Thursday. Always a great pleasure to spend time with her. And a copy of this week's book, which will be featuring Wednesday through Friday, Grief to Grace by Jeannie Ewing. Jeannie has been a guest before with some of her other wonderful books, and she is going to be joining me again on this Friday to talk about Grief to Grace. That seems like a very appropriate subject for this week. So please continue to pray for the victims and their families of the Orlando shooting. When we come back, we'll look at forgiveness. You are listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. We'll be right back.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. So this weekend was another one of those weekends where I was blessed with some time off, which is good for me, not so good for my pocketbook. But I am trying to decide if the Lord is just giving me time to recharge because there's a big influx coming of work and things to do. There wasn't like there wasn't things for me to do. I feel like I was a little slovenly. It's not like I was lazy. I'm really not lazy, but I think part of my problem is I really like sports and I don't watch television during the week. At least I try really hard not to. And I love watching baseball and racing because they're my two favorite sports because you can multitask. So while they're on, you can still be doing whatever it is you do. But I find my problem comes after those sports finish. I'm not good at turning the TV back off. And I was just, it's so funny because I've been, was preparing for my interview with Pete Sox. We do pre-recorded shows because the man has a job, go figure. Huh, he's supposed to be available for me to be live. No. But he's so good, the Catholic Book Blogger. You can learn more about the Catholic Book Blogger on CatholicBookBlogger.com. And we were talking about Elizabeth Scalia's new book, Little Sins Mean a Lot. I think that's the name of it. Yeah, Little Sins Mean a Lot. Yeah, that's it. And the procrastination page just really jumped out at me. There's like 13 of them. Him and I talk a lot more about it. June 21st, that book will be, we'll talk about that book. And I feel myself probably going to blog about each one because they're so, she goes through like all these little habits, you know, your bad habits that you don't really think too much about. Like procrastination in itself is not a sin, but it can lead to you being sloth, like to being like sloth usually has to do with being lazy in prayer, but we refer to that one more as acedia, which is kind of a fancy word that Allison actually can say, go figure, though I probably am saying it wrong. I think I say it right, but you know, that balance in life, which is so hard to get to. Like I want to work and I love to work, but I feel like I'm never accomplishing anything. I feel like I like too many tasks. I need someone to teach me how to do one task at a time. Not like that at all. And so like And then I've been trying to exercise more often. So Sunday, I actually set out for a walk, and I left my rosary beads at home by accident. And I could have turned around and come back and got them. Would have been some extra steps. So I decided instead, because I really enjoyed this now after talking with Mike Aguilina, who wrote Angels of God and spent a Friday with us 2 weeks ago. I thought, well, I'll just spend the time talking to my guardian angel. And so I started to talk and walk and talk, which I do so well. But when you're talking to your angel, you can actually talk just inside your head because it's spirit talking to spirit. So I actually don't get winded. So there's that. That's helpful. So I started to like ask her questions about, you know, a new project that's coming up, which I can't wait to reveal to you. Just keep it in prayer. I can't say a word about it yet, but let me tell you, it's incredible. And I almost wonder if the Lord is kind of giving me this break, because once this project rolls out, good gravy, I'm going to be a busy woman. But you know, I started to talk to her, and I really, honestly, I felt like my guardian angel said back to me, it's Sunday. It's Sunday. You can't work. The Lord tells you to take a day of rest. How many of you take a day of rest? When was the last day of rest you took? Like fully took it, you know, like curled up on the couch with a good book, with the remote control, without being sick, without being with tea and tissues. Like, really, when was the last time you took a day to rest? And I feel like my weekends, I am like trying to balance like this work, 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 and then rest, rest, rest. So Sunday, as I started to walk, you know, I call her my guardian angel, Claire, by the way. I've been hiding her name because I read somewhere you weren't supposed to name them. But my pastor said it's really okay. It's not like, you know, out of all the things we can do wrong, this one isn't one to really sweat. You got to call them something. You can't just keep saying, hey, you. So I prayed for during the consecration of the host many years ago. Someone had told me to do this, to pray during consecration and just ask for her name to be revealed, or for a name to be revealed, whether it was the name that God intended for me to hear or not. It's the one that came to me. So my guardian angel, I call Claire. So I'm talking with Claire, and for me to feel like my guardian angel revealed to me, hey, it's Sunday, stop working. You know, let's just chat, you know, like let's pray. And so in the end, I actually ended up praying for all of the 50 victims of the Orlando shooting. That seemed like a much better use of my time. And that's one of the things I want to talk to you about today, was prayer. You know, we can feel like praying isn't doing something. Like, I'm being lazy. I'm just sitting here praying when I should be doing something, cleaning or cooking or, you know, making phone calls or whatever it is, typing up a proposal, whatever it is you need to be getting to. You can feel like prayer is wasting your time, but it's not. It's one of the greatest gifts God gives us. And it is a work. It's a work of mercy. It's a work of a spiritual work of mercy. Corporal work, like we're just, it's part of everything. Pray without ceasing, St. Paul tells us. Pray without ceasing, without stopping. So our work is prayer, and my walk was prayer. And so I decided, you know, she was right. Like, I needed to focus on something else beside myself, especially besides work. So I decided to pray for each one. And there's a couple of different ways that you can pray for the dead. And one of them is the Requiem prayer, eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord. And you just say their name in there. The perpetual light shine upon them, and may they rest in peace. There's another version, but this is the one I know. And there's one that St. Gertrude gives us, that the Lord revealed to her would release 1,000 souls every time it was said. Now, many scholars believe, or are not really sure if it meant just when Gertrude said it, or if it's the same when we all say it. But I decided that that would be the perfect prayer. Jesus, Mary, I love you, save souls. It's a very short prayer. It's a very beautiful prayer. And I figured if I was going to say it 50 times, then for me to stay focused, you know, squirrel girl, to stay focused and get through all 50. I love that I know sign language, because my daughter is deaf, because you count to 10 on one hand. So you go through 1 through 5 on your fingers, and then 6 is your thumb touching your pinky, 7 is your ring finger, 8 is your thumb touching your middle finger, 9 is your thumb touching your index finger, and then 10 is shaking your thumb. So I can keep track of 1 through 10 on one hand and then 1 through 5 on the other, which is beautiful for doing the rosary. which of course I could have done the rosary without my rosaries in my hand, but walking and doing the rosary for me is very difficult without my physical rosaries, but that's another story. And I really feel like in the end, praying for those souls, those asking the Lord to have mercy on all those people who did not know that day would be their last day. And again, we're going to talk probably in the next segment about Father Dave Burns's wonderful blog post that he put up. If you want to read it yourself, go to Reconcile to You on Facebook. It's one of the first posts of the day. It's a shepherd's something. So sorry, Father David. But it's beautiful. And one of the things he talks about is, you know, being mindful of our actions. Being, if it's your last day, would you kind of like, what would you go to Mass if it was your last day on earth? And would you pray if it was your last day on earth? We're going to get to that again in the next segment. But see, I'm taking this walk and I decided instead of working, instead of asking, you know, Claire to help me with whatever it is next in this project, that I would pray for the dead, especially those poor souls who just went out for a drink, to be with friends, to have a good time. Yes, it's 2 o'clock in the morning and we could all say, oh, well, if they weren't out at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know what? When I was 21, 23, I was out way later than 2 o'clock in the morning. And to think you're in a safe place and you're just having fun and, you know, whatever, you can think about all that's happening there and judge, but let's think about them being just for a minute, just humans and people who sought, you know, a community, sought friendship, just wanted to have, you know, an escape for the night or whatever. Again, not for us to judge what they were doing or who they were with, or just these are daughters and sons of the Lord who he loved and who family loved. I mean, think of it from a parent's heart. You know, I think about my son, he's 20 years old. Like, what if he went out one night and didn't come home? Like, that's heartbreaking. This is all so difficult to deal with. So to pray for each one of those souls' heart, you know, my heart truly asking for God's mercy upon each one. And, you know, as I talked about what happened here in Taunton about a month ago, where we had that horrible stabbing and my dear friend Pat Slavin lost her life in her own home, opening the door and allowing somebody in that she thought she was helping and then getting stabbed to death. I prayed for him too, because obviously God's mercy needs to be upon them more than anyone. We don't want to wish hell on anybody. You think you do, but let me tell you, when you harden your heart towards anyone in unforgiveness, whether the sin was against you or another person, or the crime was against you, another person, you are risking your own heaven. I have a friend whose daughter was murdered. And the one thing that sticks with me that she said, I said, how can you go on? You know, she's got such faith and joy in her heart. And I'm like, how can you go on with this loss? And she said, I will never allow somebody to steal my heaven. She will not allow the person who caused such pain in her life and took her daughter's life to steal her heaven. So she forgives him. She forgives him and she prays for him. And she's just a remarkable woman. So to want to judge or to want to, I don't even want to use that word judge, for us to not open up our hearts to pray for somebody as a fellow daughter and son of God really does risk our heaven. And I don't want to risk my heaven. My heart looks at everyone with the way God looks at them. At least I try, because God sees through to everything, to our core, and we are all made good. Remember in the Genesis story, God made man and it was very good. We are very good because we are made in God's likeness and image, and we must pray for all. Jesus, Mary, I love you. Save souls. We come back, I'm going to talk about Father Dave's really amazing blog post. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back. Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Jinkers here on Breadbox Media. So I'll remind you again about Friend of the Show. This is new on breadboxmedia.com. It's a chance for you to support your favorite Breadbox Media show. Maybe it's A Seeking Heart. Maybe it's another one. And I'm okay with that. There's some really great shows on this network and more to come. We just wait till you see what's coming. Lots of great, great stuff happening here at Breadbox Media. Friend of the Show is a new program. You can find the link over at breadboxmedia.com, and you can give whatever you feel comfortable with to support your favorite show. But for $10 a month, I'm going to let you know, you can become a premium member. And if you become a premium member of this show, A Seeking Heart with Allison Jinkers, you get your choice of a prayer squirrel. What's a prayer squirrel? Well, it's a little squirrel, so cute. You can see it in my logo over at reconciledto.com. Yours will not have the little radio headphones on, but it looks just like that. And you put it wherever you want, on your desk at work, your bureau, in the bathroom, wherever you frequent the most. Every time you see this little guy or girl, you pray. It just reminds us that we need to pray. Just reminds us that in our busy days that the Lord is waiting to talk with us. So we have a little prayer squirrel, or if you prefer, a rosary bracelet that my friend Lori Lynch and I make. They're beautiful. You get also get 10 extra entries in every giveaway. This week's giveaway includes The Risen Movie and Little Sin Means a Lot by Elizabeth Scalia, one of three copies of A Single Bead, thanks to Pauline Books and Media, and one copy of Grief to Grace by Jeannie Ewing, thanks to Ave Maria Press. So there is 5 prizes this week, and I'm excited to bring these to you every time that I remember to do them. I try to do them every week. I was so good for like a year, right? But I promise you that the prizes all get given away. They just don't always get given away weekly. You'll notice that I stopped calling it a weekly giveaway and just the Seeking Heart giveaway. You also get a chance to be a part of an exclusive monthly Google Hangout the last Wednesday of every month, and exclusive content on Breadbox Media page, my Breadbox Media page. So all that's coming. Excited. Thank you to the 3 of you who have already become friends of the show. You also get extra prayers, by the way. I think that's kind of just understood. Anytime you want prayers from me, you just send me an email, allison@breadboxmedia.com. I go to Adoration 3 times a week. You'll also see that posted over on reconciledto.com. I try to post up there when I'm going. Always grateful to you and to bring your prayers to the Lord. You don't have to give me money for that. I will just do it. I am so happy to do it for you. I love that we have this gift of praying for each other. Speaking of praying for each other, I want to share with you this article that I found. Another friend, a priest friend of mine, had actually posted it. And it's Father David Barnes. And he writes, and I should have looked it up over the break. It didn't even dawn on me. I'm such a dork. I will look it up. But anyway, it's over on reconciledto.com. I mean, reconciledto on Facebook, the name of the actual blog, but you can see the post there. So he says he's talking about things that we could do in light of the Orlando tragedy. What can we do? Like, yes, we can try to change legislation. Yes. But people are going to still be people. I've seen all kinds of different sides out there, you know, like so many different ways of looking at it. And at the core, the only one who's going to make a change in this world is God. And He has the power to do it. We just have our free will that gets in the way, not because he is powerless because of our free will, but because of his great love for us. He's given us this gift of free will. And that gift, by the way, was given so that we could love him with all our hearts, minds, and souls, that we could give him our total life and love without being told. Like, we're not mannequins, we're not puppets. And so we are given this great gift to love him. And yet, because of sin, because of our, our fallen nature, we often don't make that choice. More than often don't make that choice. And instead, some people use it for great, great evil. But Father Barnes, I love, he just focuses on what we can do as Catholics, as Christians. What can we do? So the first one was to go to confession. Seek God's mercy, he writes. And you talked about the readings from this Sunday where King David King David fell in love with Bathsheba, who actually belonged to another man, and he had the power, King David did, to send this man to the front lines where he was killed. It was very selfish behavior. Nathan reminded him that he had every woman that he could have wanted, and Uriah only had this one woman, and it was his great love and how evil really David's behavior was. But David went to God for his mercy and he received it. Of course, he also received the punishment of that behavior, where death would follow him. The sword would follow him and his family forever. But he did receive mercy. He was given another son and he did get to stay with Bathsheba. The next story we saw was the sinful woman who came and anointed Jesus's feet. She came to seek Jesus's mercy and she received it. And in this year of mercy, that's part of what we should all be looking for, to seek out God's mercy, because he longs to give it to us. He wants to show it. Why not receive it? Father Barnes reminds us. God wants to show us mercy. Why not receive it? And confession is a very good place to go. If it's been a really long time since you've been in confession, don't be afraid. Honestly, don't be afraid. It can seem so scary and it can seem like it makes no sense. Why do I need to go tell a guy, another human being, my sins? Well, first of all, we have to look at how the church teaches about confession and who we see the priest to be in that role. We see him as in persona Christi, which is a fancy way of saying in the person of Christ, where Jesus is the only one who forgives sins. But he also said in the Gospels, those sins you forgiven are forgiven, those that you retain are retained. Jesus told them in the Gospels. We see that. Like, he institutes confession right there in the Gospels. And then they sit in his place. And what I love about I totally call it a gift of reconciliation, is you get to hear the words. Like, you don't have to guess. You don't have to go out and say, you know, like, and you're walking, Lord, I did this and I did this, or I failed to do this and I failed to do that. Forgive me. And you can wonder, you can believe that he's forgiven you because we're told he forgives you. But I love that the sacrament of reconciliation, there ain't no guesswork going on. You sit, you talk, and somebody talks back to you. It's phenomenal. Not only do you hear the words, you are forgiven, but you're also given spiritual direction. You're given help to not fall back into those sins, which is an even more important aspect of the, I guess it's not more important than being forgiven, but if you're on the fence because you feel like, well, God forgives me, I don't need to go. Well, do you need help? Do you need help overcoming the sin that you seem to fall into again and again and again and again and again? Which, you know, we all have a predominant fault. We all have something that we will probably struggle with for the rest of our lives. Me, it's envy. I talk about that all the time. And I'm seeing so many different ways that the Lord has been answering that prayer. And the answers have often come during confession. And what the priest there has given me as penance or as advice. You know, recently I went and I was confessing my envy again. And the priest told me to have a heart of gratitude toward that person. Excuse me. To have a heart of gratitude towards that person, to be grateful for the person that they are, and to be grateful for the things that the Lord is doing in their lives and through them. And I have been doing that. And let me tell you, I am feeling the fruits of that. I really, really am. There's someone in particular that every time I see one of their posts or somebody talks about them, my whole body would just clench. I would get so jealous, be like, oh, why does everyone love them? Why don't they love me? And I would get so angry. It was awful. I hated it. But recently, I'm noticing just in the last 2 weeks since that confession, that more and more I can see their name, I can see their post, and I just pray a prayer of gratitude when I see it. Thank you, Lord, for this person. Thank you, Lord, for what they're being able to do. Their mission's not my mission, and what God's called them to is not what he's called me to. There's no reason for me to be jealous. And then in my jealousy, it keeps me from doing what God has called me to do. Like, we are called, honestly, to be just people of prayer and people of forgiveness and people of hope. And it's so hard to be those people when we're wrapped up in our own sin. So one of the things that Father Dave talks about is going to confession. And he also talks about the point that you do not know when you're going to die. Like, those people had no idea that that was their last day. You know, people in Orlando were praying for, Lord, have mercy upon them. You never know. And I love Mother Angelica used to say, I go to confession every week because I never want more than 1 week's worth of poop on my heart to have to confess, you know, to be able to deal with when I meet Jesus. That's not how she said it. My brain just went a little ways away. It's back now. The other thing is to pray. And we talked about prayer. Pray for the victims. Pray for their families, for the survivors, for all those who witnessed such a horrific act. Pray for all of them. Pray without ceasing. Pray for every moment of every day. Turn your work into prayer. Turn your thoughts into prayer. A long time ago, I turned my inward thinking to just a constant communication with heavenly beings, with God, with our Blessed Mother, with saints, with my guardian angel. I don't ever talk to myself anymore. I just take along the whole posse, and there's a whole party going on in my head. It's wonderful. And I'm never alone, which is even better. We come back. I'm going to look at the last two points that Father David makes in his post, and I'm going to look up the name of his blog. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Welcome back. I'm so happy to have you here. I did forget. Yes, I know. During the break to look up the name of Father's blog, Father David Barnes. At least I know his name, Father David Barnes' blog. It's on Reconciled to You. It's right up one of the very first posts for today. Today is June 13th. I'm so sorry. I can't remember. I will try to put it in the show notes. Making a note here, put in the show notes. I went to just right now on my Facebook to pull it up and tell you, but for some reason, that's not even English, for some reason, it's not cooperating. So we're going to move on, as I'd rather share with you what he had to say and then have you worry about where to find it. So the next one, number three, was spread the gospel. And we can do this, speaking of this year of mercy, we can do this through our spiritual and our corporal works of mercy, as Saint Francis has been accredited with, though there's very little evidence that he actually said it. Doesn't matter. It's a really great thing. Spread the gospel always when necessary. Use words. I just have a t-shirt that said that. What we do says far more about what we believe than what we say. Like, we can get on the, you know, biggest soapbox we want, but if we don't follow that behavior that we say others need to follow, our words are going to have very little meaning. You know, I've seen that with my children as a mom. You know, if I tell my kids, you know, don't eat junk food, but then they see me with the Dorito bag. If I tell my kids they need to exercise, but I never leave the couch. If I tell my kids not to swear, then I become, you know, like a well-educated truck driver. Like, this is not helpful. Do as I say, not as I do. Do as I do and not worry about what I'm saying. That's a new way we're going to say that one from now on. Do what I do. Like, do people see you giving clothes to the naked, giving drink to the thirsty, feeding the hungry, and not just your hungry kids, but though that is a very important one as well. You know, as I'm saying the words, I'm thinking, but wait, that is a work of mercy, because it's hard to provide food every single day for your family. Like, how many times do I say it's fend for yourself day? I try not to, but that's usually my Sunday response. We go out to dinner. We only go out to eat once a week now, as we're working on our finances. We go Sundays. And Sunday evenings, I'll get, what's for dinner? And I say, fend for yourself. Well, how many days a week do I want to say that? Like around 5 o'clock, I'm tired. And it's probably the first time I've sat down. And then all of a sudden, it's like these four little hungry faces looking at me saying, feed me. I don't want to. But the fact that I get up and I make their meals and I'm all, you know, I buy the food and that I'm there says a great deal to them about how I live my Christian vocation. So, but there's so many different ways to do this, you know, giving drink to the thirsty in Mercy of the City by Carrie Weber. I love how she gave drink to the thirsty. She volunteered at a drink station for a run that was raising money for a cause that she was behind. She wasn't going to run, though she could because she's a thin woman. She, a healthy woman, she looks, but she decided that she instead would serve, you know, and it was only a few minutes of serving. It took her hours for them to set up the table and just a few minutes for all the runners to go by. But there's that. And then other people who've given money for wells to be dug in countries that desperately need water, fresh water. There's all these different ways. Like, let's live the gospel. Let's celebrate the life that God's given us by showing it, by being grateful, by giving to others more from the way we act than the way we say. Of course, there are the spiritual works of mercy that ask us to admonish sinners, counsel the doubtful, and instruct the ignorant. And of course, we need words in those. We need words just wrapped in love, FYI. They must be based in scripture. They must be guided through prayer, and they must be in love. But again, our actions speak much louder than anything we could teach. If we're not living it, it will not show. Our teaching will fall short. The last one is forgive someone who has injured you. Don't hold grudges, because that won't get you anywhere, especially heaven. That won't get you anywhere. Trust me. I have been through quite a few things that have really hurt me, scarred me, made me wonder if there really is a God, and that if he's so good, then why are bad things happening? But I have found such freedom in forgiving those who have brought that pain. Great freedom. And forgiving those who have brought that pain. And for me, most of it came through going to the sacrament of reconciliation. I talked about that in the last segment, is going to that sacrament and really seeking God's mercy and help, you know, in receiving mercy myself and forgiveness myself. Like, I think sometimes about, okay, so this one, especially like the littler things. Like, we can start with the littler things first. Like, say somebody cuts you off on the highway or speaks ill about you, and there's no real ramifications of it other than you've lost your trust with that person, or you had your feelings hurt, or you've been left out of something. I remember once my four best friends decided, they all had girls and I didn't have a girl, and they were all going to go to the beach. And they asked if they could use, they're going to have a girl mother-daughter day at the beach. And they asked if they could meet at my driveway and leave their cars in my driveway. No, honestly, this is what they said. And I didn't really think much about it. I thought, oh, well, that's kind of a bummer. And maybe there was I think in the end, maybe there's probably, I could have joined them if I wanted to, but I didn't have a daughter at the time. So they met in my driveway. They all went to the beach together. They came back. I happened to be home when they got back. And there's like, they're all suntanned and happy and sharing all their memories and giggling. And they were, you know, leaving now to go have lunch, dinner together. I came in the house and I cried. I was like, when did this become high school? It was really a difficult. Now, I could have brooded on that and let it bring me down. But instead, I went to confession, because what was my sin in that? How angry I got at all of them, and how I then took that and started to like really look for other things and really kind of let it spiral into this really pity party. And also sharing with other people like every other thing they had done to hurt me. It was just not okay. So I went to confession, and every time I've ever gone to confession, quite honestly, and talked about somebody else, you know what my penance always is? Pray for that person. So that's easy, right? So you go back to your seat and you say, Lord, change them. Lord, make them better people. But that's not the prayer you're called to pray. You're called, like I am with my envy prayers, you know, to call for gratitude, but call for them to be blessed. Lord, bless them with every good blessing you have for me. Let them have it, and let them have it twice as much. Those are not easy prayers to make, especially when someone's really hurt. You know, I'm talking about the little things. Maybe it's easier to say, Lord, you know, bless them. But if somebody's done something really heinous, you know, someone's murdered your child, or, you know, their drunk recklessness has left you crippled. This is hard. This is hard stuff to forgive. And this is the bottom line of forgiveness. It is a choice, and it can only be done with divine intervention. To err is human, to forgive is divine. God's grace is a necessary component. It's not a nice component of forgiveness. It is the crucial ingredient to forgiveness. Without God's grace, we cannot forgive. God's grace comes from prayer, sacrament, and scripture. It is abundant. We just need to ask for it. But it's another part of our free will. We need to ask for it. We need to ask for his help so that we can overcome these things that seem insurmountable. Forgiveness is often felt as an insurmountable obstacle. It can be hard, and it can take years. Is something else you need to know about forgiveness. It's a process. Some people are blessed with overnight forgiveness, and praise God for that. But most of us, it's going to take us a process. I can't tell you how many years I went to confession for certain in unforgivenesses and problems that I had, that it finally got to the point where I was able to truly let it go and let God have it. God says in his words, vengeance is mine. He'll take care of it. And that requires, you know, big sacrifices, big, you know, leaps of trust and faith to let go of being right, to let go of wanting a reconciliation, to let go of wanting an apology, to let go of wanting revenge. Like, there's a lot we need to let go and let God in order to truly forgive. If you want to know more about forgiveness and you're in the Massachusetts area, or you want to come for a weekend, August 13th at Holy Family Church in East Taunton, I'm offering a free morning retreat for women on forgiveness. This year of mercy, I wanted to do something special. So I'm offering a retreat, morning only, 8 o'clock to 12, just 4 hours. You'll be out by noon, I promise. Going to try to have some live music and I'm going to give you some talks. I hope they're inspiring and help you to understand forgiveness. Going to go a lot deeper into these things I'm talking about with you now. And again, it's August 13th, Holy Family Parish Center, East Taunton, Massachusetts. For more information, you can go to reconciledtoyou.com or reconciledtoyou on Facebook, and you can find a nice link there. The event over on the left gives you more information of how to register. You need to make sure you reserve your seat, but again, it's free of charge, and we'll have breakfast, coffee all morning. Got to have our coffee. And I'm excited for that, because I think the more of us that know that God's love can overcome all hurt and pain, and that forgiveness is possible, and that in forgiveness, the sacrament of reconciliation is truly the sacrament of healing. And if we want to heal, then we need to learn how to forgive. And we also will have the sacrament available that morning. So Wednesday through Friday this week, I'm going to be looking at the book Grief to Grace by Jeannie Ewing. How godsidental that's on the agenda for this week. Jeannie Ewing will be joining me on Friday. And then on Monday, the 20th, Jamie Stewart Wolf will be here to talk about books for your reluctant reader. Some good stuff coming up here. I thank you, as always, for joining me here at A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.